get to the NBA Western Conference Finals in just a moment, but we have other basketball news for you on this Friday. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and a team that got bounced in these playoffs by those Minnesota Timberwolves were the LA Lakers. Now, here is a Lakers insider, Perloff, Jovan Buha, who writes for The Athletic, has a podcast, and was describing the relationship right now between LeBron James and the Lakers front office.
There's always a chance that LeBron can walk, as we've reported at The Athletic multiple times, and it's not just been my reporting, it's been Sam Amick's as well. The relationship has been a little frosty at times. It hasn't always been the warmest over the past couple of years, but I think LeBron is, I've said it before, I think LeBron's going to be a Laker next year. I think it's just a matter of, is he opting in or is he opting out and re-signing?
Okay, so bringing up the frosty tension that has at times existed between LeBron and the front office, I'm going to be honest, Pearl, I thought that was way behind us, like way, way, way in the back, in the rear view. And here would be the reason why. Two reasons why. One, they actually drafted Bronny. I mean, they did the thing that he wanted so badly. They got roasted for it. I mean, it led to dust-ups with Stephen A. Smith on the sideline of games. Like, I know the Lakers treat their stars really well. No one's asked for something like this before.
Let me throw
though.
Something at you.
What if you don't want to make an enemy out of me?
What if he didn't love the way the Luka trade went down? He was mad they didn't tell him.
So that's where I'm like, okay, is there actually some tension here? Because I can't imagine if you're LeBron James, did you not like the trade? I doubt that you'd be able to say something like that when a 25-year-old, 26-year-old superstar falls out of the sky. You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis, who was his handpicked guy, they did win a title. It was a bubble title. They did win a title together. They were not getting closer to winning that title right now.
A bubble title. Like, are there going to be other bubble titles?
Please God, no. I hope not. But
well, by the way, it's so funny. I was just thinking about the Lakers and LeBron. He probably wants him to build a champion, but we were told by multiple callers during the show, the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to own the West for the next decade. But yes. Isn't it funny? We're talking about opting in and Frosty. Are we even talking about them building a champion around LeBron, or is he just playing out the string here?
I think it's building the championship around Luka now, is it not?
Does that include LeBron? Is that in the timeline when LeBron is still there?
Well, I think LeBron has the ability and has shown the ability to play with multiple different types of people in lots of different ways. I think we have to respect him in that way, where he's played with Dwayne Wade, he's played with Kyrie Irving, he's played now with Luka, Anthony Davis. These are all different kinds of stars.
But my question is, are we talking championship with LeBron and Luka ever? Are they even considered a contender anymore?
I think the day that Luka got traded, you start dreaming about what could be. And then the reality set in of, A, they didn't have tons of time to gel.
Big
and two,
part of it.
The rest of the supporting cast was obviously not good enough.
And I don't think they can help that supporting cast enough this year. I don't think Giannis is going to land with the Lakers. I don't think they have enough. I know they could trade Austin Reeves, but I don't know. It's also, why stay there? Why, if he could opt out and go to a contender, is that a thing? Is that a possibility? Is there even a 10% chance that could happen?
I don't know, but here's the thing. This is where I give zero excuses to the Lakers, because if they had gotten fleeced on the Luka trade, where it's like, man, you traded for Luka, but boy, was that painful. It was 5 first-round picks. It was Austin Reeves and anyone else who had any amount of value. And wow, you know, they just left the cupboard totally bare. That's not what happened. This trade fell out of the sky.
Yep.
You had to trade one first-round pick. Yes, Anthony Davis is gone, but, you know, to be honest, I don't know if Anthony Davis's health is ever going to be, you know, not be the main story with Davis. So in some ways, I've got no excuses for the Lakers.
I have one.
What is it?
They have an enemy that cannot be beat. Their rival, and I'm not talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Father Time. He's turning 41 in December. Eventually, Maggie, it's got to slow down. And you even saw it slowing down. Like, that's their excuse. LeBron's going to be 41. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, but the thing about LeBron is that he's found a way to manage his age, you know?
Has he really, though?
I think so.
Was he able to beat LeBron in the playoffs against the Timberwolves? I think you're denying reality that he's a descending player.
That might be fine, but as far as like the regular season is concerned, which now that he's got Luka, maybe the regular season has to be a little bit more of an afterthought and the playoffs have to be the only thing. And I know he doesn't like that. He wants to play.
But even with that, at 41, is he still going to be good enough to get out of the very competitive Western Conference? Even if with Luka, feels like a stretch to me. I think that we're going to see him. Yes, he'll probably, as Buha said, he'll probably go back to Lakers. I just think that you can't wrap your head around the fact that Father Time's going to get LeBron.
I guess what I can't wrap my head around is, why is there tension now? Like, what's the tension now?
He said a little frosty. It didn't exactly sound like.
How's there any frost? Like, or anything? I can't imagine what more. I guess, like, you can have issues with how the Lakers have built their team. But to be honest, when LeBron James made some moves for the front office, they were terrible. Russell Westbrook, that meeting went down at LeBron's house, not at the Lakers facility. He wanted Russ, and it didn't turn out well. So
maybe he's a little frost. Maybe he's manipulating the situation to get to the Eastern Conference so he can get back to the finals.
Yeah, well, that wasn't true.
Go to I don't like you guys. Send me to Cleveland. And let me join Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Or send me to anywhere.
I mean, Cleveland's
the
so
West.
They have to be feeling so desperate right now. I mean, it was such a terrible way to end their season, where they're the number one seed in the East and they couldn't win a home game against the Pacers. That was rough.
That's where he should go. I just don't.
I mean, he did it before.
Yeah, but I mean, we just had Varden on, and I think he loves that Hollywood life.
Yeah, no, he's got
all my damn respect, too.
We were talking about the balance between post-playing ambition and playing with Aaron Rodgers. I think LeBron's big time into his production company. He's got his kids. He's a sports dad. He's got a lot going on.
Okay, well, one kid's next to him at the Lakers. Yeah, the second kid's going to Arizona.
Right.
So that's two.
You know, he's a part-time NFL analyst.
You can do that from Cleveland. I know plenty of people who are part-time and full-time NFL analysts. Cleveland's the best place to do that.
But I do think he has a lot of business connections in L.A. I don't think that's a joke. I think he wants to buy a team. I think he's working on that already.
See, all that sounds like such crap to me. If you really wanted to, you're not playing basketball in China. It's not Singapore or something like that. You're not going to the Iranian Basketball League. It's Cleveland. It's like you can still conduct business from Cleveland. You can't be on calls in Cleveland.
Sounds close, though.
What's that?
Cleveland and Iran.
You can't have.
It's not different. You don't have to Google the time difference.
It's different, and you know it. You're saying, hey, we're going to have a meeting on Zoom with LeBron, Rich Paul, and
Maverick Carter.
Maverick Carter and Seth Rogen about a new series or something.
Yeah.
Or Sandler. Like, it's different to be in L.A. That's why they're all in L.A.
He's on the road 6 months out of the year anyway. You don't think he's had to conduct calls from Milwaukee and New York and Miami and all these other places? Like, if he really wanted to go somewhere, you don't have to be in L.A. to be in Hollywood.
You could do it in New York.
You could do it in New York. For once, I think New York actually might not want him. This is crazy as it is to say
really
that.
They
pined for him for
decades. Which team
decades.
In New York? We're talking about the Knicks?
The only one that matters.
Yeah.
No, I disagree with you on one thing. I do think being in L.A. And also, he had a house in L.A. even before he got there. He loves L.A. It's also a beautiful weather. And
rich people have houses everywhere.
I think his wife wants to move to Cleveland right now? Back to Cleveland?
She's from there. Why not? She's from Akron. They're both from Akron.
Why not? Is that a real question? I mean, I don't need to.
All right,
Matt,
we're taking
Cleveland.
You right to Binghamton. You're going right back tomorrow.
In the words of the great Joakim Noah, I never heard anybody want to go to Cleveland on vacation.
Yeah, Joakim Noah also said he was too lit for New York. I think he was a little too lit for whatever he was smoking that day. But
I mean, you're just playing devil's advocate, because you have to understand there is a million reasons that LeBron wants to be in L.A.
Yeah, he's 41, I think you.
I think he's leaning now. He's a part-time mogul. Part-time basketball player. I really believe that.
I think that's disrespectful, because he's committed himself to the game still $1 million into his body every year, still playing at a high level. Say he's basically cashing checks, you know.
I'm not saying that.
Just
I'm saying
to stay
part-time
in L.A. and be a part of the Hollywood scene to get his production company. Like,
absolutely. That is absolutely what's happening.
But you're basically saying then he's not, like, that he's, like, mailing it in as a basketball player.
I'm not saying, I said part-time. He's definitely, I mean, listen, I've had a speaking role in one movie in my life. It was called Hustle, and he was the executive producer.
Yeah. Did you ever see him on the set?
No, but apparently he was with Sandler.
Was he looking at the dailies? Like, was he negotiating with the studio? No, he can do all this stuff.
When he was 29 and his absolute peak, was he an executive producer on any film? No, of course he's expanded. Yeah,
but you don't think he's like sitting there with Rich? How's it feel getting into the combine?
He had a question the other day about how he does all these business things. He's like, I trust Maverick and Rich.
Right.
That's a lie. he is in on these meetings. He's spending real time on this business. I guarantee you. And I'll bet you he already has a plan in place to buy a team. And I'll bet you he's put a lot of mental energy into that.
Then how's he still playing basketball at such a high level of 40?
He's 6'9 and LeBron James. He's never going to forget how to play basketball. He just roll out the ball. He spent $1 million on his body for two reasons. One, because he's in Hollywood and that's what you have to do these days to fit in LA.
It's not a facelift.
And two, well, yeah, but you got to be, look at those Hollywood stars. You got to be svelte. No, anyway, you don't think that his priorities have shifted a little bit? And is where his attention goes, a lot has gone to his kids. I know he has Bronny on his team now. You think he's as focused on basketball at 40 as he was at 29?
I think that you look at the product on the court and you can't say, oh, this guy's clearly not prioritizing basketball anymore. Like that doesn't compute to me either, because we've been talking about how he's defying time.
But
he's
His whole career, he switched teams. Once he left Cleveland, every 3 or 4 years to pursue a championship, he stayed in L.A., and I think it was because he had more on his mind than just basketball.
Well, now he's got Luka. So, like, that's the other part of this situation.
And Bronny.
And Bronny, of course. Can't forget Bronny.
Don't forget Chalo.
I think that he, like, this is a reason to stay in L.A. This is a reason to extend your career, right? Because you could have kept running it back with Anthony Davis and whatever, but now it's like this whole new thing that you don't know what the possibilities are because Luka's, quite frankly, just entering his prime.
But I think you only have 1 year to do this. I just don't think there's a lot of time. I think he's going to retire after next season.
Really? Why?
He's 41 years old.
But people would have said that at 37, 38, 39. And they did, and he didn't. And
he's
still
playing the NBA, and he's 41, and he's not going to be Vince Carter who's going to play 19 defensive minutes. Yeah, I mean, you actually looked at me like, well, why would he retire? Yeah, but, I mean, at a certain point, it's called mortality.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to play to 45 like Tom Brady? It's the NBA. It's not NFL.
45. We're not there yet.
But you looked at me like I was crazy. He's actually talking about retirement now.
He does that. Well, actually, this offseason, I don't know if he's really... He said he has to talk to his family about it, stuff like that. I guess I'm just saying we've been having this LeBron retirement conversation for like 7 years. And meanwhile, it's not happening. And I think the Luka trade injects like a new life into him potentially. Mm. If Luka really shows that he's putting in the work in the offseason, especially with new trainers and all that stuff with the Lakers, then yeah, why not 2 more years?
Maybe 2, but that's the most.
Maybe 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. LeBron James on our minds today. We also get to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he was great last night. Thunder up 2-0, commanding lead.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
In the Western Conference Finals, even if we have trouble saying that around here. But is he ready to take the next step? What is that? We'll tell you next, M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're off the NFL owners meeting, and it seems like the NFL is about to go on a little break soon. There's some more OTAs, but after Brock Purdy signed his contract, we're probably going to take a break on the big quarterback contracts till later in the summer. I know there's some players out there that haven't signed yet, but that felt like we were geared up to spend the whole summer debating is Brock Purdy a system quarterback, and then the 49ers took that away from us.
Yeah, good for them, because they did not want this to linger even more. That just would have been a disaster. They got Fred Warner done, too. The 49ers were just taking care of business. George Kittle got done early, so nothing like what happened in the last couple seasons with guys holding in up until basically the season was about to start. But here's what I thought was interesting about the Purdy contract. We can debate all day whether it's worth it or whether it's going to come back to bite them or whether, you know, Purdy's worth $53 million. But we had more details that came out, which was the 49ers were looking to see if they could trade Brock Purdy. Now, I don't think that's BS. We have no idea what they were asking. That detail has not emerged yet. But the report is out there that they were looking to trade Purdy.
I don't get this report. Honestly, I don't believe it.
Well, let's just go on the assumption that it's true.
But how could they look to trade him? Who would trade for that guy? But go ahead.
Okay, so that's part of it, right? They looked to trade him, but they got no takers. And it would have been, depending on what they were asking for, we know the 49ers drive hard bargains. I think, what were they looking for? A first for Ayuk or whatever? That never happened. But here's the thing about why this is such a weird contract for Purdy. Dude has no value really on the open market, or very little value.
Right.
Yet worth $53 million a year and $181 million guaranteed to one particular franchise. I can't remember somebody in history who had this exact thing. Like, you have basically, you just said it, no value on the open market. No one was lining up to trade for Purdy because you would have had to pay him and you would have had to give the 49ers something.
What do you think the Miami Dolphins would have gotten for Tua Tagovailoa last year?
But we all universally agree that was a bad deal.
Well, at the moment,
99% of us would not have done it, and we were questioning why Miami did it.
At the time, I don't remember it being 99%, but I hear you.
Well,
but
he
it's
already
the same
had
situation.
How many concussions? I mean, that's a very different calculus with Tua.
But Tua had no value for the same reason that Brock Purdy had no value, because you would have to give up resources for the right to pay $50 million for a quarterback. How you win in the NFL is you have a quarterback on their rookie contract, and every team is into that. Nobody wants an expensive quarterback.
I understand, but I think Trevor Lawrence would have a market. I think that Justin Herbert would have a market. I think that any of these other, I think Dak Prescott would have a market. I think there's all the other guys who are in the top 10.
No, I don't think Dak Prescott. I think Trevor and Justin, I agree with you. Why would anyone want to pay Dak Prescott?
Well, I'm saying at the time he got the $60 million, which was before the latest lower body injury.
He was already post 30. I don't think he had a robust market.
Okay, maybe we'll agree to disagree.
Like a third round pick, are we talking about?
No. I think it would have been higher. I think you would have gotten a second round pick for Dak Prescott. I do. But anyway, there's no, it's just this weird thing with Purdy where it's like, oh, we tried to trade him. That was a no-go. So instead of trading him, where we could have envisioned life without him and life with Mac Jones or Aaron Rodgers or whatever they were going to pivot to, instead, we give him $181 million. So it was either trade or $181 million. It's just it's an odd, like, wrap your brain around that. Because I think that if Brock Purdy was out on the open market, he's probably getting like what Sam Darnold got. Sam Darnold was out on the open market. You didn't have to trade any draft capital for him, and he got like $30 million. Instead, Purdy's making $23 million, pardon me, more than that.
Well, obviously,
and I don't know how different these two guys are.
So you're calling, I've been trying to push you to call this a bad deal.
Yeah, you have. I know, and I'm almost there.
By the way, and I also like, you should. I mean, it'll probably work out. Most of these deals have stunk for the quarterbacks. All of them, every single one last year failed.
It's funny because you pay the guys early, you know, before you technically need to, and people say it stinks. Then you wait until the very last minute, people say it stinks. It's kind of hard to please us all. But my thing with Purdy is just coming off of a 6-win season when he was asked to elevate the team and obviously couldn't do it, right? Like, to pay that guy coming off of, to pay him this much coming off of that season is not generally how, like, it wasn't like he was in this great position of strength, yet he still got this massive deal.
Yeah, so. It's funny, but the funny thing too is a lot of insiders were like, wow, that was a team-friendly deal. They have a lot of optionality in that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been worse. He didn't reset the market. I mean, he's right now the seventh highest in average salary, and he's 14th highest in percentage of cap. This deal is, he'll be a middle-tier quarterback in 2 years.
Percentage of cap is weird, though, because Josh Allen's right behind him.
Well, I know Allen's very underpaid.
Right,
I mean, nobody
he's higher in average. Like that's, I think, how they structure it, too. But as far as guaranteed money, though, if he gets everything of the $181 million, he's like top five.
Right, right.
So
but the point is the
anyway.
Cap went way up and he didn't come anywhere near trying to reset the market.
Yep.
So his $53 million this offseason is like $63 million for Dak. I mean, so he's $10 million under the highest paid quarterback.
Probably. Right, but he's Brock Purdy. So.
Yeah, I mean, but there was also a debate this weekend. Is he the eighth best quarterback in the league or the 18th best quarterback? Which do you have him closer to? I'd say he's probably about 15th.
Yeah, I think closer to 18 than 8.
Yeah, but I think the 15th best quarterback in the league is probably worth about $50 million a year. That's just how the league is, right?
That's true. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Dom's in San Francisco. What's up, Dom?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, pal.
Yeah, the word, I'm Brock Purdy, 2 NFL championship games in a row, almost won a Super Bowl. Is he worth the money? Compare that to Dak Prescott, the money they're paying him and what he's accomplished, and there's your answer.
Yeah, but I mean, Dom, if it was only that simple, thank you for the call. Purdy was, you know, captaining and leading an all-star team at that point, right? You can't divorce the fact that the 49ers were loaded on those two championship teams, absolutely loaded. And you know, that's Dak Prescott at times has had good teams and at times has not. Sometimes it's right exactly on Dak and sometimes it's not. Purdy also has maybe the best coach in the league, according to some people.
Can I play a little this guy or that guy with him just to set the salary? Like guys who are in the salary bracket around him, is he as good as Jared Goff?
Goff's another one who's got tons of talent around him, right?
Yeah, I know.
Best that's, offensive line, all types of weapons.
I see them paid at about the same average salary. Is he better than Kyler Murray?
Murray's so different. Murray's some physical anomaly. Tools that are just out of this world, but the team stinks.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think a lot of people would want. Kyler Murray has to run back 14 yards to see where the receivers are.
I know, but when he wants to run forward, he's doing it really, really fast and elusively.
But people are not paying for that. I think that Kyler Murray is limited as a passer because of his height. I think Purdy is a little bit too. How about Cousins? Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Kirk Cousins if you're San Francisco?
Definitely Purdy. I mean, Cousins coming off the Achilles. I mean,
he's getting like
2 years ago, I guess.
He's getting a ton of money. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. It's interesting. Geno versus Purdy. It's an interesting conversation. They paid in the 40s for him. Could he go to San Francisco and be awesome? Probably.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Purdy might be a little better.
I think Geno would be just fine in San Francisco. I think they have the same ceiling with Purdy and with Geno Smith.
I think Purdy, I actually think, and I know the NFL podcast world loves Geno Smith. I think Purdy's a little better quarterback. I really do. Hmm. Geno will give it to the other team.
Speaking of Geno Smith, actually, we got a little sound about Geno Smith, don't we? Let's transition from San Francisco to the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's his head coach, Pete Carroll. Is Geno elite?
It's not just the couple seasons that he played. It's all of the years that he was there. Because to me, coaching the next quarterback up is really, really crucial. And so we spent a lot of time, you know, in communicating and setting our priorities straight, staying on course. And he's just been a champion at that. And now he comes out the other end of that time frame, and he's an elite quarterback in the league. And so what he brings to us is great confidence. He brings to me, I know that we're going to get great play out of his spot. So it's really easy to work that out.
Is Geno elite?
No way.
No, I don't think he's elite. Though the one thing about Geno is, unfortunately, there's like some mistakes that happen at really crucial times. Like, he's a great, you know, quarterback. He's got really good stats.
I ain't right back, though.
But there are just some moments where you're like, no, and he throws that interception that dooms your comeback.
Yeah, I mean, his stats weren't great last year. But the team wasn't great. But, I mean, he said the word champion. I mean, he's been, what, to one playoff game? I mean, that's the thing about it. They're eager to recreate the Pete Carroll Seattle experience. Like, did that go anywhere under Geno or in the last 8 years? Has he done anything? So I know I don't quite understand the optimism with the Raiders, to be honest.
You know, I think Pete Carroll is an immediate upgrade, even at 73. I think that Ashton Jeanty was a really fun draft pick for them.
Definitely.
And I think their offensive line might not be as bad as people think, although we're not O-line experts around here. Yeah, they still need some upgrades at wide receiver, but you do have Brock Bowers. He's obviously, you know, amazing. And we'll see if Pete Carroll can coach up the defense and get more out of less there. You still have Max Crosby?
Yeah, Carroll's so what are we talking, 7-10?
I think in the hunt. Can I give you that? Can I give you Las Vegas Raiders, the week 14-15 graphic on CBS at 4:25 Eastern time? They are in the hunt in the AFC West, which is a lot, by the way.
So Vegas has them at 6.5 wins, where Denver's 9.5, Chargers are 9.5, and Kansas City's 11.5. It's a tall task. I think it feels like it's been a very positive offseason, but that division just is rough. And I think come November, we're going to view them differently.
Can I bring something else to your attention? Manny, can I hear the Ashton Jeanty sound, please? So this was just more funny to me and sort of a what would you do? So Ashton Jeanty, his nickname is Deuce. He's been wearing number 2 as a uniform number his entire life. Apparently, it's a number that's very important to his family. So when he got drafted by the Raiders, well, unfortunately, number 2 is taken by kicker Daniel Carlson. So Jeanty called Carlson to see if he could start negotiating for the number.
Yeah, I called him. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get that number 2, you know. I'm willing to negotiate, you know, whatever you're thinking. You know, I gave him what I was thinking, you know, first. Then he came back, you know. And I'm like, hey, man, I got to do it. You know, I got to drop that little bag for number 2.
Okay, I've got a lot of nitpicks with Ash and Jenty's negotiating strategy here, but let's just hear exactly how much money did he give Daniel Carlson to wear number two and switch numbers?
Yeah, it's
like
up there.
Accord? Like, now, for that, a brand new Lexus? What are we talking?
So you could probably buy a house, like a nice size house.
This is the Kay Adams. He then said something about a Mercedes and a specific class of Mercedes. So the car he was talking about is probably off $60K. And he said he could buy a house. Trade 60. He gave the guy $60,000 for the number.
That sounds about right. That's actually, people paid a lot more, haven't they?
Numbers have been traded for cases of beer in the past. I got to just, I don't know if, listen, I'm not going to call out the Boise State Business Department, but I feel like they would have a really big issue with how Jenty approached these negotiations. First of all, you can't make the first offer. You have no idea what Daniel Carlson is thinking. He could have been thinking, hey, give me $500 a case of beer, we'll call it a day. Instead, Jenty made the first offer. It's way more sentimental to Jenty. He needs two, Pearl. He can't be the one to make the first offer. This is like, I didn't even go to business school, but you got to know that.
Well, according to AI Overview, neither did Ashton Jenty. He was a communication major.
Well, okay, then maybe someone on his behalf should be negotiating for the number. So you have an agent. Have your agent called Daniel Carlson's agent, mm-hmm. because this one did not work well for him. You can't bring emotion to a negotiation like this.
Wow, you are completely overthinking this. It's
Jenty needs someone Carlson, like me around.
He's a pretty darn good kicker. I mean, I'm not saying Hall of Fame level, but I actually wouldn't even take it. I mean,
kickers are athletes too.
He's like, is he top five kicker in the NFL?
Yeah, but he's already switched numbers a couple times. He switched for Mariota. Like, he's not attached to a number, so you gotta know who you're going up against. This is about the art of the deal, dude. Yeah. It's not about whether...
Daniel Carlson is the one that ends up winning. I mean, he's already schemed Mariota out of some money. This is how the guy's making his career earnings.
Well, that's the thing about Jenty. You didn't do your homework. Did Mariota even pay to switch? I just think Jenty got hoodwinked here. This is like, this is rookie mistakes.
Yeah. This is an older list, but 2018 Bleacher Report article had a bunch of people who paid money for numbers. One of the ones I see here was a guy, Eric Decker, who was on the Jets. He apparently paid Jeff Cumberland $25,000 to offer a steak dinner for the rights to the number.
And even that seems a little steep to me.
Should have paid $25,000 to get off the Jets.
Damn, Gordon.
Fair point. It looks like Roger Clemens gave Carlos Delgado $15,000.
See, the going rate's not $60K.
Well, I don't know. But also, how much did you say Roger Clemens for Delgado?
$15,000.
All right, so that was in the 80s. So 90s. What is it, 90s?
I gotta tell you, Eric Decker $25,000 in 2018 for Jeff Cumberland. I mean,
what a waste of money.
I'm just saying, if that was $25,000 then, and $60,000, it doesn't seem so bad in comparison.
Tariffs.
Wait, 2018? That wasn't that long ago. So how much was a gallon of milk back then?
Mid-level players exchanging numbers, not an all-pro kicker and the number six overall pick. These are two kind of scrubby guys.
Oh, Decker's a scrub?
Well, kind of, yeah.
He caught 1,000 yards at the Jets.
I mean,
the biggest thing is he nabbed...
He ain't Ashton Jenty.
His wife, right? Isn't she a country music star?
Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse James. The highest number I see here is Clinton Portis, $40,000.
Yeah, but Clinton Portis, read another headline about Clinton Portis. He wasn't exactly Einstein.
This was 2004. he was willing to offer. He was willing to offer $40,000. There was actually they went to court apparently. And Fiani Uwalete. They went to court and two ultimately ended up agreeing to $18,000.
Meanwhile, according to AI Overview, which we've learned wrong a lot, but I did remember this a little, Clinton Portis has been in financial ruin. Clinton Portis is not the...
Jail, is it? Didn't he go to jail?
Was he part of that scandal? I don't know why I thought he was.
Yeah. He was part of the Ponzi scheme, I believe.
Right. Yeah, with all those guys. Isn't that why Big Baby's in jail?
I don't know if he's in jail, though, Clinton Portis. But anyway, he lost his fortune. So, like, I would not be looking at him as Clinton Portis gave $40K. Like, I should give 60 because of inflation.
To clean up the story, the reason why he went to court was apparently he didn't want to pay the teammate because the guy got cut. So, he was supposed to pay the teammate. The guy didn't make the team. So, he didn't want to pay him. So, Portis was forced to pay $18,000 after saying he was willing to pay $40,000.
So, Ashton Jenty already had about, according to AI Overview, $5 million in the bank or so from NIL, and he's getting a $35 million contract. $60K, come on.
It's the principle. That's nothing.
You're saying you
never want to lose a negotiation, whether it's between, you know, it's whether the money's meaningful to you or not. This is like Michael Jordan 101, you know. He never wanted to lose anything to anybody on the principle of it.
Yeah, Dan Carlson's not giving up that number for peanuts.
He already gave it up to Mariota.
Yeah.
His old number.
For what? Mariota's made like $100 million in his career, probably. That probably had to pay a pretty penny, no?
Donovan McNabb may have had the most unique situation. When he went to Minnesota and wanted to wear number 5, he negotiated a deal with punter Chris Cluey, where he wrote a $5,000 check to Cluey's charity of choice. He had to mention Chris Cluey's band in 5 press conferences, and he had to buy the punter an ice cream cone, with McNabb apparently failing on the band and the ice cream cone agreements.
That's hilarious.
Is that binding?
Yeah.
Maybe he should have went to court like Clinton Portis and the other guy did.
Your Honor, he offered to mention my band and then never came through.
Could have dealt with it like the Geno Smith, IKM and Polly, whatever the guy's
name. Yeah, that was $500. He got punched in the face over.
To be honest, Chris Cluey might say, you know what? I don't know if I want Minnesota Vikings Donovan McNabb mentioning my band. It might not go over well with the locals.
Well, Chris Cluey was more of an activist than a player. Like, he didn't care. By the end, he didn't care at all about football.
No, definitely not.
He was very open about it, too.
No, he just got, I think, arrested at a school board meeting not that long ago.
Yeah.
Gordon Damer is here with updates for us.
Well, guys, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the story before the game last night. He was the story during the game last night, too.
Giving to Shai down the lane, floats it on the run. Banks it home left-handed on Alexander Walker and gets a bang for his bucket. Oh, what a play by Shai. SGA, so good always.
Yeah, that's the call on Thunder Radio. SGA led the way, 38 on the night, received his MVP award as well. Thunder take game 2 against the Timberwolves, 118-103. Thunder, 17-2 run in the third quarter, and that was pretty much all she wrote, is SGA doing it all.
I feel really good. I feel like my emotions were like so high that I was like a little bit like tired out there, especially the start. I was like a little too juiced up, but special moment.
Yeah, another special moment when he saw his former teammate Chris Paul in attendance.
It was amazing. Caught me off guard. I had to like double take. I was like, who's that sitting with my wife? I got a little tight, but then I seen it was Chris. I was like, all right, cool.
All right, so they lead that series 2-0. Game 3 on Saturday. Game 3 is set for Saturday there. Of course, I should tell you, SGA also gifted his teammates. Mm. We're talking about gifts and all this type of stuff. Gift baskets to celebrate his MVP award. Every Thunder player, including those on two-way contracts, received a gift basket which included Rolexes, iPhones, Beats by Dre headphones, and Canada Goose jackets.
Wow.
So that's super generous. I always think with some of these guys, right, like the NBA contracts are just so gigantic, you know? I'm trying to pull up the Thunder. And I know a lot of these guys are on rookie deals, but even still, like, this is a lot of money. Give the gifts to the team, but then what about the support staff? Like, you give one of those guys a $20,000 watch, that could really change something. Like, Isaiah Hartenstein, awesome, making $30 million, could buy his own Rolex.
Yes.
Ditto for Lou Dort's making $16 million. Isaiah Joe makes $13 million. Chet Holmgren still makes $10 million. Caruso makes $9 million.
Isaiah Joe makes $13 million. That's amazing.
That's just this year. You want to go, we can go down. Isaiah Joe's signed through the year 2028.
You said generous, by the way. Obviously, you think SGA paid, you just gave the free ad to all those things in there. That's
right.
Those guys do not pay for those gifts.
Oh, count if they were gifted to the person, sort of like a re-gift?
Well, he certainly didn't pay face value, but he just gave Rolex a huge ad. Right?
I wonder if he got him any Skims. Isn't that his big thing that he's a spokesperson for Kim Kardashian?
Nothing quite like my teammate giving me some underwear as a thank you.
Perloff says his sponsors.
What was the Canadian Goose? I'm sure he called them and said, hey, I want to do this. Will you give me his marketing guy said, give me 15 coats for he didn't pay for it.
If Shai, who's making $35 million and about to sign a $300 million contract with Supermax, got me Skims as one of his teammates, I'm letting him get blown up by the next screen the next game. I'm not calling on anything. He's going to get just destroyed. I'm like, oh, didn't see that one. Sorry, but I should have called the screen right.
Here's the funny part.
Guy's got a set on him.
Skims for women, I know what that is, like body shaping wear. So it's not just underwear and bras and stuff. It's like stuff that contours your body. These are some of the tricks
makes it look thinner.
Right, exactly. Is that what it does on the men's side?
Yeah.
He's expose himself.
But basically, also do I think the thing that Shea's doing is sort of compression shorts too, right?
That's my understanding as well.
But why would you not? I love compression shorts. You wouldn't be excited if Shea Gilgeous-Alexander gave you a $40 pair of underwear.
I'd like to see his splits.
That would be interesting.
Can a man give another man
really,
underwear?
He really overreached then by going out and getting Rolex.
Yeah,
you're saying he could have just gotten them all $40 pairs of underwear.
Yeah. Shea basically the Ashton Jenty of negotiating it with Andrew Perloff.
In the package.
Yeah, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and my mom both giving me underwear for Christmas. What? No, give me the Rolex.
Well, that'd be nice too. But what about the long pants, the compression pants? The Nike ones are like $180. Trust me, I always want to buy them, but they're too expensive.
Mm.
So if you guys win an award and want to hand me Skims, I'm down.
Battle of the Bulge.
Not the worst brand.
No, I was just asking. Yeah. Can a man give another man underwear?
Tonight, it's game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks trying to pick up the pieces. According to AI Overview, Knicks first team in a billion years to lose
wow.
game one like they
before
did.
Before the sun even was.
Yeah, the confirmation is still pending on that one. Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news?
Bad.
Okay.
The bad news is the Knicks have never won a playoff series after losing the first game on their home court.
Okay, mm-hmm. Get that out of the
but
way. What's the good?
Good news after that?
Yeah, they are 4-0 this playoffs following a loss.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that did it for me, Gordon.
It doesn't feel like the good and bad are on equal footing.
Seems like that was the point also, by the way.
Are you?
I can't make up the stats. I'm not AI Overview. I just can go with what I have.
He's not Elias. He's just one man. Are you going to go to the watch party? You didn't go last time.
I got things to do. I got an event that I've got to go to. Or else I would have gone to EJ's place.
Get out of here. You're missing the game?
No, I'm not missing the game. Again, it's 2025. I have an iPhone. I have the TNT app. I can stream the game.
No, that's fine. But sometimes events take your attention. Like, not all events you can sit there and watch TV. I wasn't sure if this was something you had to, like, if it's a Broadway show, you can't watch
I'm not going to a Broadway show.
Okay.
No, I'm just go and see some old pals. We'll just call it like that.
Well, this is very mysterious. Right. What is happening?
I was invited someplace, man, to a
beach
club. Yeah, I'm going to a beach club.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I love those.
Yeah,
they won't have TVs on?
They certainly would, but I'm not too sure the area that we're going to be concentrated in will. So I do still have my Wi-Fi password from when I worked there. So we'll be watching the game.
You're going to the beach tonight? It's like 40 degrees.
We're going inside. It's a beach club. There's a place inside.
By the way, I know... the studio next to us, Boomer and Gio, CBS Sports Network, WFAN, both predicted the Knicks win this series, and Gio even said something to the effect of they could win next four. I mean, there's still optimism.
Mike!
I agree. I think people went too negative on the Knicks.
Well, like, the way they lost was like
but you could
gut
also
punch.
Look at that.
Oh, man, you could look at that
and be like, oh, we have a lot of advantages. We got that lead. You could look at it in a more positive way. The matchups are good.
After all, the Celtics are still saying that as they're sitting at home. Like, we had those first two games. We were up by 20 points. We were in control.
You know what I think happened with Boomer and Gio?
Punchy! You clapper!
They did what I did because I told Manny the same thing. You just had to take a nap because yesterday
felt
I tried.
Better.
Yeah, yesterday I was like, you know what? I got to get my mind off this. I'm gonna try to play MLB the Show. I was getting shellacked by like some scrub team.
Yeah,
I was
your
like,
mind wasn't it?
I just was. That was terrible. I struck out like 10 times. So I was like, this isn't working.
Like,
I was like,
you know
what? I gotta just yeah, okay. I had to take a nap. I took a nap.
Sleep it off.
I was rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Joey, are you?
I'm on the
bench. You're back.
Knicks in six. Get these guys out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
We lost
you for a day.
I thought about that with Jalen Brunson. I'm like, was he able to sleep the night that happened? Probably not.
Tom Thibodeau.
Well, Tibbs never sleeps. But
true.
I bet Jalen Brunson didn't sleep, and I wonder if he's gotten some good sleep because that you're right. It's the only way to like erase it.
Yeah. Because like I said yesterday, how my body felt after that Haliburton 3 went down, I've never felt that in my life. And I didn't know if it was going to go away. It stayed with me that morning. And I went to sleep and I woke up and I was like, oh, that's right. Knicks in six. And I was ready to go. Wore my Knicks jacket to PT. Had a great session. And I was like right back on.
You're not getting 8 for 9 for 3 from Neesmith ever again. So that you know that.
That's a fact.
It better be the fact.
Stanley Cup playoffs, Panthers rolled over the Hurricanes 5-0, so Florida now 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup final.
Gordon, thank you so much. Fantastic job all morning long. And one more thing for you before we go. We got to get this in. Got to. Because somebody is talking some major trash, and I don't know if they have the right to do that next.
I'm always thinking about money.
Tiesto season already?
Memorial Day weekend, of course.
I know. I'm kind of interested in what Manny's doing tonight. You're going to a beach club. You're going to have to also watch the Knicks game somehow. How are you going to kick game to women while you're also watching the Knicks?
I'm going to be surrounded by women over the age of 40, so I'm good.
And there's a problem with that?
A little bit.
Hey, really? Wait a minute. This is an older crowd for you. You're 27.
Dude, when I was 27, I would have been all about that.
Perloff down at the senior center. Oh, picking up chicks.
Listen, I'm not an ageist, but the ladies that are there, not my type, is what I would say.
So why are you going?
There to support my father.
Oh, being a good son.
Oh, well, you said you were going to. You made it sound like a bachelor party before. Now it's a family event.
Is it your dad's birthday or something?
Actually, it's not what we're celebrating, but that's coming up very close. I should probably get him a gift.
Okay.
My presents will be my gift. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we're celebrating my mom's birthday. She's got a big one she doesn't like to talk about this weekend. Going down to Philly. And cool. We're still, by the way, I hope she's not listening. It is Friday. We don't have a present yet, and we need to really deliver.
Dude, this is an epidemic with your family. Well, I gotta tell you, always shopping on the last minute.
You have a mother who has everything. What on earth do you get her?
So tough.
It's hard to shop for your mothers. I don't know. Do you guys feel that way?
Plus, it was just Mother's Day, so now you got to double up.
Yeah. It's because here's the thing. Like, she loves when you go to Snapfish or one of those photo sites and make a mug with your grandkids.
I know, but you got to think about that a week in advance.
No, she has so much pictures. She has she has
all that. Get her shirt.
I've got something. Are your parents kind of foodies? Like, they like that?
Yeah. They like to cook at home more.
Oh, great idea. Some cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
Well, you could do Gold Belly or something like that, where you get fancy food that's kind of sent to you, free ad for them. Or you could get her and your dad a gift certificate to a restaurant they like.
That's see.
You've already done it.
No, they don't want to go to restaurants. They'd rather eat at home.
Yeah, it's too loud.
They're not going into the center city to go have a dinner?
No way. That's
also, do they serve anything else in Philly besides cheesesteaks and
Philly's a big restaurant
pretzels
down
and
by.
City center
cream
knows
cheese.
What they're doing.
Have a cream cheese entree.
No, but is there anything I can buy? I'm being dead serious here.
Get her a Jalen Hurts jersey or something.
Yeah, actually, Perloff's mom bought me a Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt. I have it. Hang it up.
And then you ask her what she wants. She says nothing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Standard woman answer.
The worst.
We say nothing, but obviously we mean the best stuff ever. Yeah.
It's year 2025. Is a cookbook or a pot or a pan?
Cookbook is cool. Pot or pan's a little... Like, you couldn't afford a vacuum cleaner?
No. That's what I was wondering. If your husband came home with some kitchen stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy. But if he gave me a cookbook of someone I like, then I'd be like, all right, I can do this.
Hey, honey, here's a pan. Make me some
here's
eggs.
An apron, a no, pan. No, and,
even a cookbook.
Get back in there.
A cookbook to my mom implies, I want you to cook this food for me.
I want soup.
Yeah. Like, I think it better would be you put your feet up and I will make the recipes in this cookbook for you. To which she would say, absolutely not. I'm not eating your subpar cooking.
You almost poisoned us last time.
EJ, what do you get your mom? She seems like a very sensible woman.
Penn State gear?
A lot of Penn State and Raiders gear. A lot of Penn State and Raiders gear. She has plenty of that. She loves it. One of the things I've been exploring is sneakers. Mm-hmm. But Last year, I did Nike now, because they're with the NFL, they do like team sneakers.
Sure. How do you know her size and everything? And will it fit right?
That's where you go. I ask my dad, hey, what's my mom's shoe size? And ask my mom, hey, what's my dad's shoe size? Yeah. And that's how you get good stuff.
You're lucky you can buy shoes at a regular store. People like me wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, with your giant feet.
My giant feet.
Lucas couldn't even lift your feet. I mean, lift your shoes.
He cowers when he sees me without shoes on. He's like, what are those?
God, that's such a good idea to buy hip sneakers.
Adidas, something like that?
There's definitely Eagles sneakers out there. She would love them.
Get her some socks.
She's not an Eagles fan.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's a great idea. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Gordon Damers here and Rami Levy, who filled in today for Andrew Kaplan, who we're thinking about, and his entire family, along with everyone on Memorial Day weekend. See ya.